Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Saturday morning. It happens other days of the week, but Saturday is a way to put it all together. And it's the day before, the night before. Those night games are brutal. Brutal. It's all about TV. However, it is still the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. And we'll see. The Cowboys fans will chirp, but their quarterback is a fraud. But they'll chirp. He is a good quarterback, but nothing special, and not what people said. And the Eagles will win that game. And I don't care whether Doug Peterson said it. I don't care whether the media tried to pin him into a corner and say, "Do you guarantee it?" He said they're going to win. Do you guarantee it? And the Daily News still put guaranteed on the back page. So it doesn't matter what he says. The media just writes whatever the hell they want to write. But there's been a few issues this week. Injuries aren't even at the top of the list, but the Eagles are missing some good players. Continue to miss DeSean Jackson. I don't even know if he'll play next week either. Jason Peters, but Dillard had an entire week to take reps as the number one left tackle or the starting left tackle, and that's what he'll do. Darren Sproles is still out, and Nigel Bradham is out this week, and not sure whether he'll come back next week. And next week's a tough game, but it's a tough game defensively. But we'll not worry about next week against Buffalo. That's what makes it tough. It's Buffalo after two tough games. But the other issue this week comes from, in part, social media, which is not social, and it's not media. Because you can put anything you want up on social media, and reporters, if that's what they call themselves, are not accountable for that. Josina Anderson, who I think is a lightweight, I would say average at best. I don't know if she's even average. But she kind of, how do I want to say this delicately? But there's no way to say it delicately. She makes the players believe that she's their friend. You know, it's just with the long eyelashes, the whole thing. She makes them believe that she's your friend. And the source from the Eagles, nobody knows 100%, but most people believe that it's Alshon Jeffrey. And the coaches aren't going to talk to him, but I would think in a locker room there's always somebody involved with the players or the players that would have a talk with Alshon Jeffrey and say, hey, just shut the bleep up. And we don't know for sure. Yesterday he denied it. He flat out denied it, which is what he has to do. Because nobody will know. But I would never, if I were him, people understand that he had a friendship, I would say, with Josina Anderson. I would never talk to her again. because she's not doing anything to help you, even though she says you're your, she's your friend, by putting that out there. And I don't think it'll hurt the Eagles, honestly. That's, people are making an issue out of that this week. I don't think that will hurt the Eagles. And not in this situation. I don't think it will hurt the Eagles. But the comment about, if in fact it is Alshon, why would he comment on the Eagles not getting a player on defense? That's number one. And here's what I've seen Josina Anderson do. She talks to somebody, and this is where you've really got to be careful. Just, and this is just an example of what could happen. Hey, you must really be bleeping pissed off that the Eagles didn't get the best cornerback in the NFL, or they didn't get Jalen Ramsey. Or and the player would say, yeah. And that her comment would be his quote. Alshon Jeffrey, although, I mean, there's a really solid sense that he's the one that spoke to her, it doesn't step out like that. He's a soft-spoken guy. He's quiet. He doesn't step out and say those things. But if you put words in his mouth, yeah. So I think that's, he's got to be careful from now on. But, you know, let's play the, if Kyle has the cut of where he's asked the question and then he denies it. Does Kyle have that ready?
I got it, Howard.
Okay. All right, let's play that. So he denies making the comments, which, what's he going to say? He did make the comments? So whether he made them or not. But players got to be smarter than that, especially with a reporter that doesn't care about the player, only cares about him or herself. But I don't think it's going to hurt the Eagles. If anything, it might unify them. And then the comment that she made on the air, and it's actually a comment from a source. First of all, if you're going to put a source or an anonymous player, player's got to have the guts to step out and allow you to use his name. Otherwise, don't make the comment. But she quoted the player as saying, and I'm paraphrasing now, that the offense, I guess, is too complicated. Again, I'm paraphrasing. And then there's a comment made. He's got to learn when to check down Carson Wentz. Well, the player doesn't care whether the check down would be to the back and the back gets blocked, because the back can get blocked as long as he's within a yard of the line of scrimmage and the ball has not been thrown yet. So that takes away your check down. I mean, these players just got to, it serves no purpose. And if you have a problem with it, I think this coaching staff would be happy to hear from the player. Not all coaching staff, you're not going to tell Bill Belichick what to do unless you're Tom Brady. But from Doug Peterson, Mike Rowe on offense, Jim Schwartz is a tough guy, but he'll listen to you. I just talk to the coach. It's just so stupid. It's so stupid to make that comment. But, and as far as the Eagles in Dallas, Dallas finally played some tough teams and they've lost three in a row. That's hard to do in this NFL, to lose three in a row. And for people that can count, three straight games is 12 quarters. It's like four quarters of the game. You know how that works. It's 12 quarters. For the Cow, I'm really speaking to the Cowboy fans because they're too stupid. Three games is 12 quarters, unless you have overtime, and there was no overtimes. So in those 12 quarters, how many of those quarters did the one-year wonder Dak Prescott, how many touchdown passes did he throw? Or how many quarters did he throw a touchdown pass? 12 quarters? How about one? How about one? And in the quarter in which he threw a touchdown pass, the Cowboys were down 31-3 to the Green Bay Packers. Boy, what a stud that quarterback is. I mean, by dumb luck, you throw more touchdown passes than that in 12 quarters. One quarter he threw a touchdown pass. He is very overrated. And I just think there's just something about the Eagles. And Mark Lawrence had a talk to him, whether you buy into trends or not. Second game of a road game for the Eagles. They're 10-1 in their last 11 games against the spread. Now, the spread's only 2.5, so I don't think the spread will enter into the game. I just don't think the Cowboys are that good. And the Cowboy fans, the cockroaches that they are, will go back into the muck and grime that they go into when things aren't good. And then all of a sudden they're good, and here they come popping out into the sunshine. Just like cockroaches. Yeah, there's another, so I put another syllable in for Cowboys fans. Cockroaches instead of cockroaches. All right, we'll talk about that today. Also, the Phillies, and this is a, it's really an interesting situation how they're going to approach this. We've heard the three names of the people that they've already interviewed. Joe Girardi, who I still think has to come back or supposedly will come back for a second interview. Dusty Baker has had two interviews. And Buck Showalter, I believe, has had two interviews. I don't know who people want, but I'll tell you, well, I know who I want and who I don't want. I don't want Buck Showalter. I don't want another guy that's a member of the wonderful front office the Phillies have in Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail, and he worked with those guys. I don't want a trio. And then when you fire Klentak and McPhail, and then you got Showalter, who's not the guy of the new guy and wouldn't be the manager of anybody new coming in, that doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense. The manager that everybody wants, and managers do not sell tickets. They don't sell tickets. However, they will give people a feeling that things could go in a better direction. And Joe Girardi would make people feel good. And I think they have to, if they're going to get Joe Girardi, I mean, he's got better options than the Phillies. He's got the Cubs, and he's got the Mets. And they, I believe, are better options than the Phillies. So you have to overpay him to get him here. And he's a baseball guy that I don't know that he could work with Matt Klentak, but John Middleton's got to say, hey, listen, if he doesn't want a player, I would hesitate getting that player. And during a game, he can't read a computer, a printout, and just go by that, as Gabe Kapler did. And there's other managers that don't do that. You know, when John Middleton pointed out there's teams in the playoffs that use analytics. Oh, really? Well, watch them. Watch them. My tasty cake drop-off has just happened. Watch those other teams. Watch Houston play, who uses analytics, but they hit and run. They'll try to steal a base. They'll bunt, as Washington did. And what those teams will do, and that will be Washington. Houston is last in the league in strikeouts. But in the analytics world of Matt Klentak and Andy McNumber, because that's all he rolls out there is McNumbers, Andy McNumber, strikeouts, and that's not a problem. It's home runs, walks, and strikeouts don't matter. Well, it matters to those other teams. And that's why they're where they are today. So the question to you is, it's pretty obvious. Would Joe Girardi being named the next Phillies manager energize you as a Phillies fan? Dusty Baker, I think, is a good baseball guy, but I don't know if he would excite people. But Buck Showalter, no way, no how, not any way do I want Buck Showalter as the manager. It would be brutal. It would be brutal. Mr. I'm the boss, the dictator. That's what I call Buck Showalter, the dictator. Very controlling. And I'm not a fan of Buck Showalter. And none of those guys won with Baltimore. All right, let me give you the numbers. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. And on your cell phones, the AT&T service, you know that I'm using for a long time. It's #9494. And on Verizon, #9494. The other thing that I think people have to worry about. The 76ers start the regular season. I'm glad this preseason is such garbage. I'm glad the preseason's over and they start their regular season next Wednesday against the Celtics. Expectations are high. Now, let me just take you back a year. The expectations of the Phillies, they were really high, weren't they? Oh, they're going to win the division. Chance to go to the World Series. Remember, expectations are not always a good thing. And that's a problem. You know, there's people out there that think, oh, the Sixers are going to go to the finals. I don't think the Sixers are going to the finals. There's so many things that could happen. Many, many, many things that could happen. I'm not on that bus. I'm not on that bandwagon. It says they're going to the finals. Are they a good team? Sure, they're a good team. Will Ben Simmons shoot from 15 feet and beyond? We'll see if he'll shoot from when it in a regular season game. We'll see. I mean, he made a comment last week, which he finally acknowledged that he was not a good shooter. Finally acknowledged it. Something that everybody knew. So we can also talk about that today. The injuries for the Eagles, again, not good. Jason Peters out. DeSean Jackson out. Darren Sproles out. And Nigel Bradham out. So that's not good. And when Doug Peters, the thing that I think back to the comment he made it on WIP radio when he said that the Eagles are going to win. I think when he also said they're fixable problems. Now, we watched that secondary. That didn't look very fixable. But he's obviously under the strong belief that it is fixable. And just the way he said it, I really believe that he believes that it's fixable. I mean, just don't make mistakes. And it's turnovers. And the other thing, the Eagles are not as good as people think they are right, not as good as people want them to be right now, not as good as we thought they should be. But when you look at the record, they're 3-3. Not great. And they just got beat by Minnesota, just flat out beat. But in Atlanta and Detroit, those two teams did not beat them. They beat themselves. They don't turn the ball over, which was five times between Atlanta was three and Detroit was two. They don't turn the ball over. They win both those games. Or at least win one of them. At least win one of them. So that's kind of the thing that I look at. All right. Got some open lines you want to get through. 94 WIP, we're at the fabulous, sensational Borgata, where I play the contest each week, pick three teams. If anybody's still undefeated, they have a chance to win $1 million. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy if they're still undefeated and picking three games each week. And then, of course, you got the phone bet, you got the money line, you got all different things that you can do here at the Borgata. And in a couple of weeks, they have a really big event. But we'll get to the phones. We'll get to you. We'll get to hear what you think about the Eagles, possibly the Phillies. Would Joe Girardi give you confidence that the Phillies are going in the right direction, or the fact that Matt Klentak and Andy MacPhail are still here take that confidence away? 94 WIP, WIP Sports Time is 8:20. 94 WIP on a Saturday morning. Let's head to the phones and let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard. How you doing, bud?
Well, what part of New Jersey are you from, Joe?
Well, I'm originally from Philly, but I just moved over to Sewell, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Near Deptford.
Okay, gotcha.
Anyway, I wanted to talk on two topics. One, this reporter, and two, the manager. But, you know, I know you're in the business and you know it well. And I tend to agree with you that this story is ridiculous and overblown. But my problem is this is not the first time that he's been burned by this girl. I mean, so
I know.
Maybe he's trying to get something out there, because it's not, you know, it's fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, whatever the saying is, you know. But why would he keep confiding in her, you know?
I don't know, because he's stupid. really, that's what it comes down to. Confide in her. Why would you say something to her, knowing
exactly,
that people already suspected you last time? And I mean, I like Alshon, but that's just stupid for him to talk to her. Just stupid.
Yeah, he's got
to
be smarter than that. But
it's stupid.
Like you said, hopefully it'll unify them this week. But
I don't think it's going to hurt them, but it makes no sense and it's not correct. First of all, the trade, and after you're done, I'm going to explain why that trade would have been a horrible trade for the Eagles, even though there's some people Well, the Rams know it's a horrible trade, and they have acknowledged that to people, but they're doing it for a different reason.
That would be a panic move. I can see if they're like one player away from the Super Bowl, but they have, you know, you can't give up all those picks at this time.
No.
So with the manager, I think all the choices here are an upgrade. I mean, I would even throw Mike Socia in there if he was available. But I do agree with you. I do like Girardi. But Showalter, the thing I see is, I remember, you know, Girardi had some really good teams with the Yankees. And I feel like at the end, he underachieved, whereas Showalter had some horrible teams with Arizona and Baltimore, and they played above their, you know, above their ability. So that's the only reason I would.
Now, I'm not a show. Well, one of the reasons I don't want Showalter is because of the relationship he has with Klentak and MacPhail. Why do I want another Baltimore Oriole when they've never won anything? And that's the way I look at it. I mean, why would I want him? I do not like Buck Showalter a tiny little bit. Not a tiny little bit. I don't like Showalter. And let me explain the trade to the Rams. And the Rams acknowledged this. There was NFL meetings in Florida this week. And they acknowledged to people that talked to them about it. They know it's not a good trade. They know it's actually a bad trade to give up two number ones and a number four. Especially because it's going to cost them a lot of money. They don't have the money. The Rams are going to be, forget about them in 1 to 2 years. They are going to be so capped out, it's going to be a joke. The salary cap ramifications. But they did it. They've got a new stadium. And they've acknowledged this. There's very little interest in Los Angeles for the Rams. It's really kind of sad. Well, it's L.A. Rams are a good team. Not a great team, but a good team. They went to a Super Bowl, and there's still very little interest. And they still had more 49. There was more 49er fans there last week for the Rams game in Los Angeles than there were Rams fans, which is a joke. But they're not getting a lot of fan interest. They're not getting a lot of sales. It's not so much the tickets, it's the suites where you make your money. And they believe that they had to do something to try to energize the fans and get them to support them. And that's why they made the trade. But they know it's not a good trade. But it's a short-term thing for them just to get people interested. And that's not the reason to do it. And people have to understand, well, people say, oh, he's a young player, he's 24. Well, when you get young players as a draft pick, you're on a rookie contract. It's a way to help manage the salary cap, because the players don't make the big money till the fourth or fifth year, or the depending on whether you're a first round pick or a pick after that. And you can, it's a way to kind of help manage your salary cap where you don't have to go out and sign good players. But you know, the other thing you've got to do is you've got to make good selections in the draft, and you got to get players that can help you. And then that are good players. But it's hard to do when you just trade away your draft picks because, well, it's only a late first and two late firsts and a fourth. That's not the point. The point is you hope you get good players. And with those players, they're on a rookie contract, and that helps you manage it. You can't manage it when Jalen Ramsey is going to make more than any cornerback that's signed in the NFL. And that's not an easy way to do it right off the bat, because when you trade for him, you know you have to sign him, and it's going to cost a lot of money. Andy, you're on WIP.
Hey, King, what's going on?
How you doing?
Pretty good. You know, we're talking managers here. First of all, there's no way you're getting a big-time manager to come to manage the Phillies. I just don't see it. Second of all, you mentioned Showalter. You spoke the truth. What the heck has he done lately? Anyway, Baltimore was like the worst team in the league for like the last 5 years.
I know. And that's not all his fault. However, what has he done? You know, I just think he's too controlling. I just get the impression he's too controlling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so much like against that because, you know, these players don't have to be like the best friends with the managers. But, you know, I don't know if he's all into that analytic thing, but I know he's got ties with Andy McPhail, who, like you said, who should have been let go, and Klentak, which is ridiculous. And Joe Girardi, there's no way is he coming here.
Unless they overpay him.
Yeah, and that leads me to my next point, because...
And the money's not the object, because that money doesn't count against your cap anyway. And John Middleton, he just wants to get this team better. It doesn't matter to him what it costs. However, he's not going to get crazy and go over the luxury tax just to throw away money. You don't win by just signing free agents. You've got to have a support system, and that's your minor leagues, and the Phillies don't have that.
Nothing. They have nothing in there. I don't know what.
Whereas Andy McNumber said, well, they have three players in the top 100 in Baseball Prospectus in the minor leagues. Yeah, you know where those players are? One of them's in the 30s. That's Bohm. The other two are 88, 89. The player that's 89 is Stott, who has only played 44 games in the lowest minor league there is in baseball. And then you're going to tell me, and the Braves have four in the top 34, five in the top 63. And two of those 20-year-olds are going to come up next year, and the Phillies guys are 23 years old. The Phillies farm system is average at best. It is a failure so far for Matt Klentak.
Yeah, absolutely. And a quick Eagles point. Now, to me, the Eagles are just not that good. I don't think they're that talented. Their defense has got to be, like, near the worst or at the bottom.
They're not at the bottom, but they're not. Well, last week it was terrible. They've got to get a pass rush. That's the thing that they've got to get as much as anything else, which will help the secondary. Sidney Jones has got to stop taking double moves, but it looks like Jalen Mills is going to start. So that'll be better. And he's not afraid to have press coverage.
Right. And I'll leave it with just look for the Phillies. They'll probably hire somebody from within. He'll be cheap.
John Middleton's not worried about cheap. They got Gabe Kapler cheap because he was new. They got him for $1 million. No way Joe Girardi's coming for $1 million. I would say it's going to be it's over $3 million. First of all, you're the manager, and you're going to make less than the general manager, that ain't happening. I wouldn't come here in that regard.
No. And the last thing I just wanted to say, I know you. You're definitely the king of sports, and Howard Stern, king of media. You guys are like on the par, just different topics.
I guess compared to Howard Stern, that's a good comparison. It's not a good comparison. It's nice that you put me in that class.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are the best at your profession, so I think.
All right. Thanks, man.
Take care. Nice talking to you.
Have a great day. Yeah, it's just, whether you like or don't like Howard Stern, he's very, very, very successful. Jeff, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's going on,
Matt? Great. I mean, the one thing I'm not in common with Howard Stern, he makes $100 million a year. I only make man. Half that.
Hey, man, what did he sign? He got like a $500 million contract, didn't he, when he first signed with Sirius?
No, whatever it is, he made a lot of money.
He made a lot of money. Hand over fist, buddy.
Yeah, but you wanted to talk about, I see you wanted to talk about the Rams.
Yeah, man, so, I mean, I'm just not following you, man, as far as what Jalen Ramsey's going to do and how he's going to turn out. And he might get to the team, they might make another run. He might just like the area, man. You got to wait and see how this plays out. He might re-sign
but here's what was my point. Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in the NFL. There's no question. All right, negative. I don't like the fact that he quit on his Jacksonville team. They have a chance to make the playoffs, and he quit on his team. Quit.
But they stank for a long time, and some people don't
But it doesn't matter. They have a chance this year. It doesn't matter. He quit on his team.
I think he wants to team up with Aaron Donald, the best.
It doesn't matter. He quit on his team, and that's what I don't like. And the Rams, I told you, the Rams acknowledged that that's not a good trade in terms of football for them. They did it to try to get people interested in L.A. who are not interested in football, to try to get them interested because they're trying to sell that new stadium they have, and it's not happening. That's what they're trying to do.
Allow me to give two retorts to you right quick, Howard. I've seen fighters quit in the ring and go on to become Hall of Famers. So quit on his team. He's 24. He's a young guy.
You're comparing. It's not even apples and oranges. It's not even apples to oranges. It's a joke.
Quitting in the ring is worse than quitting on your team, don't you think?
Not if you hurt and are physically in pain. And you quit. I mean, fighters have to be labeled
a martyr.
Yeah, and I don't know of any champion that quit in the ring. Give me a champion who quit in the ring.
Whoa. Miguel Cotto went down on one knee.
He's not a Hall of Famer. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Miguel Cotto is not a Hall of Famer.
Not in my opinion, no.
Oh, stop it, man. Roberto Duran.
The Hall of Fame fighters that I would acknowledge.
Are
the great heavyweights.
That you would acknowledge.
The great heavyweights.
Come on, man. You take punches, and for some guy to say they don't acknowledge you, that's just wrong, man.
Not as a Hall of Famer, not as a great one. No, fighters, that is a brutal sport.
It is.
But you can't compare fighters to a football player going out there and maybe being tested, eight times a game? Give me a break. Come on, Jeff.
How many football players have gone on to become fighters and still want to become fighters?
I don't care. I don't care, and I don't even know. I don't even care. You're comparing. Jeff, come on. I don't want to waste my time with this anymore. You know, you're comparing a football player to a fighter. I mean, give me a break. Really, give me a break. You make that comparison. Jalen Ramsey is a great player. The best at his position in the NFL. But he quit on his team. It's not a team that was going to go winless. If you play for the Jets or you play for Miami, I can understand how you might want to quit on that team, which is not a good character trait. I understand how you might want to quit on that team. But not Jacksonville. Jacksonville was kind of in the mix to make the playoffs. I do not like that. That's a character flaw that I think is brutal. You know, he had a bad back. All of a sudden now the back, when he got traded, the back's all right. You know, I think they should have fined him, but you can't fine a guy if he says he hurts and he has an injury. All right, let me give you the numbers. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, the AT&T service that I use with all my numbers, it's #9494. And on Verizon, #9494. At the fabulous, sensational Borgata, we're in 2 weeks. And because the Eagles are on a bye week, I've been to the event before, Savor Borgata, which I'm afraid I'm going to eat so much food. There's so much great food, with all the famous chefs here, it's going to be absolutely sensational. But each one of the chefs has an event at their restaurant. And the one that I'm going to go to, which sounds really, really great, is Izakaya and Michael Schulzen. Michael Schulzen, because he's got a lot of restaurants, as people who are foodies know, in Philadelphia, he's got a lot of really very, very, very good restaurants that he has now in Philadelphia and actually all over the country. But he's got a lot in Philadelphia. He's going to have food from every one of those restaurants at Izakaya. So, although I'm, I know Bobby Flay well, Wolfgang, I know. He doesn't know my name. He just says sports. Sports, yeah, right, Wolfgang. It's just Michael Simon is excellent chef. I got to get Jeffrey's name. I always screw up his last name. But he's another famous chef. But all of them are here. But I'm gonna stop and see all of them. But I'm going to go see Michael Simon or Michael Schulson at Izakaya. So it sounds like a really, really neat event on Friday night. And Saver Borgata is on Saturday night. WIP Sports Time is now 8:40, 94 WIP. And let me just clear up. Jeffrey Sarkarian, who I've met many times. And I just went brain dead on pronunciation of his last name. He's another famous chef from the Food Network who was here. There's so many. It's going to be so much food that weekend. So if you're a foodie or if you just like food, it's a lot of things that will be going on here at the Borgata. But I kind of tried to make my choice yesterday because it's a bye week for the Eagles. So I don't have to travel and it would be great to just go to some of those events. All right, let me go to Rashid. Rashid, you're on WIP.
Good morning, King. How are you, buddy?
I've never had a bad day in my life. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, too. I feel like I want to give you my score for the Eagles game, and then I want to talk about the Jalen Ramsey situation. I think the Eagles win 34-20. And I feel like it's a good spot for him. I feel like Carson going to do his thing, and I feel like it's an opportunity for the defense to step up with getting that loudmouth out of Philly, that linebacker. And I feel like Camu coming into his own last year before he got hurt, and then I felt like he had a good camp. And then my next is, like, even with the Jalen Ramsey trade, I felt like it was just too much. And I feel like they Jacksonville made out like fat rats. And at the end of the day, I look at it like it just, like, you got to think about it. L.A. don't have a first-round pick for the next 5 years. And then, like, I look at it like a cornerback is, okay, you have a good shutdown cornerback. You shut down one side of the field. I understand all that. But I'd rather have a pass rusher because a pass rusher get to affect the ball game 60 to 70 times by rushing a passer, and you might only get 10 throws that way. And I like Von Miller, and there's a possibility that we can get him. And I just want to know what you think about that.
Well, there's a possibility of a lot of players. I really believe that Howie Roseman's going to make a trade before the deadline. And it wouldn't surprise me to get some insurance for a wide receiver in case Deshaun takes a while to come back, in case Deshaun, after he comes back, gets injured again, and a defensive player. But you can't start giving away a lot of draft picks because, in the end, that's the way you win, by building up young players, and it helps manage a salary cap. You can't just start trading away. The Jalen Ramsey trade was a terrible trade for the Rams. Terrible.
Yeah, I think it just was too heavy, and then they're so top heavy with their guys. They got Goff that signed an extension. They signed Gurley. They signed Donald. They signed Cook. And then they're gonna have to sign this guy. This guy gonna want anything from.
They're gonna be a bad team. Give them a year or two, they're gonna be a terrible team because they can't keep all those players. And all of a sudden it goes back. It's just, and they don't have draft picks to support to get. They don't have enough draft picks to be able to support them.
And I believe in Howie. I feel like we're gonna get a deal done. I feel like it's just gonna be a good deal for us. You know what I mean?
Well,
gotta know when to walk away.
They gotta start making better picks in the draft. That's one thing, but you can't start giving away draft picks. But he'll make a trade. He's made trades the last few years that have helped him, and didn't give up a lot.
Just fly, Eagles fly, and I feel good about us on Sunday.
All right, you got it. Yeah, I think the Eagles are going to win. Of course, we've gone through almost an hour of the show and not a Cowboy fan to be found because they are cockroaches. They run away. They go in the muck and grime when things aren't well. There's nothing they can say that's good about the Cowboys. Nothing. Nothing. Tony, you're on WIP.
Morning. So I'd like to have an honest discussion about the last 10 games, not each an individual, but and then why Sunday is so critical. So we're 3-3.
I wouldn't call it critical, but I would call it important.
Okay. So 3-3. Very tail end of the schedule. You got 2 Giants games, Dolphins, and Redskins. I'll give you those. So there's 4 wins. So you're at 7 wins. Now, let's go on the flip side. You've got Patriots, Seahawks, and Bills. You obviously believe we're getting a win in each one of those.
You know what? I don't know, but I would say, but you forgot the Bears in between there.
Hold on. The Bears and the 2 Cowboys games are what I would like to call the coin flips, the 50-50s.
All right, but here's what I would tell you. Do you think the Patriots are as good as everybody thought they were at the beginning of the season? They're struggling to score points.
Correct. I'll give you that. However,
okay, and they're on the road. And they're on the road. The Patriots are a good football team, but not as good on the road. I like the Eagles in the Patriots game. And Seattle is much better at home, too. I like the Eagles in the Seattle game. The Bills game, that's really, if they beat the Cowboys, I don't know if they're going to beat the Bills. But they're not going to lose to the Bills if they lose to the Cowboys. But I don't think they're going to lose to the Cowboys. So, all in all, it's hard to kind of map it out. Remember, the Eagles, they're going to get a lot of players back. Jackson should come back at some point. Sproles will come back at some point. In the defensive backfield, they have two players that are injured right now that will be back. Avante Maddox, who had a nice year last year, and Cravon LeBlanc was much more than I ever expected he could be, and he played really well for them last year, and he's eligible to come back after the 8th game. So you got to remember, there's some people coming back.
Playing the devil's advocate, let's just say the Bills, Patriots, Seahawks are a no-go. You're at a 7-6 season.
Wait a minute, you're saying they're going to lose to all of them? Wait a minute, you say they're going to lose to all of them?
I'm just saying, playing the devil's advocate, you're at a 7-6 season, which leaves 2 Cowboys games and the Bears.
But you're basing a 7-6 season on the fact that you say they're going to lose to all of them.
Just those 3. That's 3 losses.
No, not just
that.
No.
Wins on the other side.
Let me just make you...
3 coin flips.
Okay, let me make you aware of something else, which is really an advantage to a team. The Eagles only get on one plane trip the entire second half of the season. One.
Well, that goes back to my next point I was going to make. The Eagles in 2017 weren't the best football team. I said this earlier in the week. They played the best. They came out, and they were willing to step on anybody's throat that got in their way, and everybody knew it.
Yep.
The difference between 2017 and now, that's not there anymore.
Well, we're not talking about 2017. But the teams in the NFL aren't as good now as they were in 2017. They're not as good. The Rams aren't as good. There's teams. I mean, San Francisco's better, and they don't play them. And New Orleans is probably better, but they don't play them either. So, you can't just look at it like that and say, well, they're not as good. Yeah, but in the grand scheme of the NFL, they probably are just as good based on what the other teams are. And that's what you have to look at. And don't just blow away the fact they only get on one plane trip because Washington and New York, Washington's a train, New York's a bus. It's so much different. When you don't travel a lot, it is a real advantage for a team, and especially in the final month of the season. So,
it's not just the home advantage. It's also the team having to get on the plane
all you want.
And travel.
But the reality is they have an advantage with their schedule based on the travel. Not with the teams, but with the travel. And those teams are here. The Patriots are here. Seattle's here. That's really important. You think the Cowboys are going to beat them out for the division?
No. It's not. I said what I felt was the 3 critical coin flips.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Do you think the Cowboys are going to win the division?
We're going to find out this Sunday.
No. It's not the question I asked you. Do you think the Cowboys are going to win the division?
I'm nervous about Sunday.
Okay.
I'm very nervous.
Okay. Do you think the Cowboys are going to win the division? I'll ask you for a third time.
They have a shot at it.
Okay. You still didn't answer my question. So, Tony, have a great day. Just answer my question. No, I do not. Me? I do not think the Cowboys are going to win the division. I don't think the Cowboys are really that good. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, AT&T, #9494. And on Verizon, same thing, #9494. I'm Howard Eskin at the Borgata. WIP Sports Time is now 8:56. 94 WIP here at the Borgata on a fabulous Saturday morning, getting ready to go to Dallas. Starting hour number two, Eagles-Dallas. Big game. Big game. But it's not critical. It's not... every week's the biggest game of the year, but this certainly is a big game. I think the Eagles, I really have very good confidence that the Eagles are going to win the game. I was wrong with Minnesota, but I wasn't as confident with that game. They just got beat. They got flat out beat. Alshon Jeffrey has denied that he is the source. He has to deny it. There's questions on whether he was, but you got to learn that you can't talk to those people because they're not there for your best interest, or whoever it was. It's not your best interest. It makes no sense. But I don't think it's going to hurt the team. That's the other thing. People made a big deal. Oh, yeah, there's people that... First of all, I throw away the Carson Wentz story, that bogus story in January. And you just... People are baited into saying things, and players are stupid when they do that. But I don't think it's going to hurt the team. And I think they will be, there's no question they will be better this week, and Dallas has got issues. We also talked about the Phillies. Interviewed Joe Girardi, Dusty Baker, Buck Showalter. I don't want Buck Showalter. I do not. I don't want a guy to create that trio of Buck Showalter, Matt Klentak, and Andy McPhail, who worked together before and weren't successful with the Baltimore Orioles when they worked together. I don't want Buck Showalter. Each one will have two interviews. Joe Girardi's got another one scheduled. Remember, paralysis by analysis. You got to be careful. I don't know what you need two interviews for, but that's what they do, and they want to be thorough, and I get all that. They're probably going to have to overpay Joe Girardi to come here, but that will get the fans a little more excited than Dusty Baker, who I think is a very good baseball guy, and Buck Showalter I don't want at all. I'd be okay with Dusty Baker. Obviously, the fans, and I'd be okay with Joe Girardi. Not okay with Buck Showalter. And the Sixers, be careful of expectations. You saw what happened with the Phillies. Be careful of expectations. All right, let's go back to the phones. Mo, you're on WIP.
Hey, how you doing, Howard?
I'm great. Another day in paradise for me, Mo.
Exactly. That's the right attitude. The reason for my call, I have a bold prediction, but I want to preface it by saying that if DeSean Jackson is healthy from, all year, Carson Wentz is an MVP candidate. I mean, there's no denying that. He's got 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. If DeSean Jackson's on the field, he's getting more than that. He's getting more touchdowns.
He's on pace for 36 touchdowns. That's incredible. It's really a lot of touchdowns.
You look at the last time Carson had a deep threat in Torrey Smith, we went to the dang Super Bowl, So I think that, now, my bold prediction is that once DeSean comes back healthy, once we get this cornerback situation figured out, like Avante Maddox and Jalen Mills, like, I'll take it. I think that's good enough. That's kind of all we needed for the Super Bowl run. But once we get those guys back, I think the Eagles are running the table, to be honest with you. I think that
once
we're going to
get him back, but when are they going to get him back? Running the table is hard. But I think they're... I'm going to check their September schedule, December schedule. I don't think it's brutal. They don't get on a plane in the last month of the season. They have Dallas here. That's an advantage here. Here, I've got it here. It's they play Miami. Actually, it's December 1st. They play the New York Giants here on a Monday night. They play at Washington, and Washington's still going to suck.
Yep.
They play Dallas here, and then the last game of the season is at the New York Giants.
Yeah, see,
that's a really good, as far as the Eagles are concerned, a really good schedule for the final month.
Definitely, I agree, and that's part of what goes into my prediction. I mean, the only team I'm really worried about is the Seahawks. I'm not afraid of any team that doesn't have a good offense. I'm not afraid of, and not the Bears, not the Bills, not the Patriots. I'm not afraid of any team that has, you know, a subpar offense, even though their defenses are great. So really, Seahawks are the only question on my mind when the guys come back. Now, this week, like I said, it's a must-win for Dallas. Not for us, but it'd be great if we can get the win, though.
Yeah, Dallas got their easy games out of the way early. Dallas has had issues. And the Eagles have a better quarterback, it really. And that's what it comes down to. And thanks for the call, Mo. There's no question the Eagles have a better quarterback. Matt, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how are you doing today?
Great.
So I wanted to talk about the Phillies manager. I agree that Buck Showalter should not be the manager because I agree what you're saying about how in Baltimore, they didn't do anything when the three of them worked together. And I personally think that the best choice for Phillies manager would be Joe Girardi because Dusty Baker, he is a good manager, but he's 70 years old, and like I don't know how much longer he has the team.
Well, yeah, here's what I'm going to tell you about age. Joe Maddon, who people wanted, is in his 70s. People didn't have a problem with that. You know, age today, because people live longer, they're healthier for longer periods of time. I don't see where, you know, your brain doesn't stop functioning. And I don't know what the concern with age is. I mean, nowadays, 70 is like late 50s in terms of what it used to be. I'm not worried about the age thing. And he's got a feel for the game, and he has managed Bryce Harper before. So obviously, if Dusty Baker's in the mix, Bryce Harper, and the players should never make the decision. Bryce Harper obviously liked him as a manager. Otherwise, they probably would have never even interviewed Dusty Baker.
Yes, yeah. Like, I personally think that it's going to come down to Joe Girardi and Dusty Baker. If they want Joe Girardi, they're going to have to overpay him. Because I don't know if he's going to want to work with his front office.
Joe Girardi would be, as far as the fans are concerned, and I don't know that there's not another manager out there that we don't know about that might be a coach somewhere, but it doesn't sound like that's the direction they're going. And Joe Girardi, the good thing about him, he'll use analytics as a guide, not as an end-all be-all, because analytics will just screw you. First of all, when people talk about analytics, all it is scouting. Now they call it something different, and they go into all these extensive, stupid, ridiculous, moronic, just play the game. You know, analytics, or they position because analytics. No, they position people because they scouted them. And scouting is the same as analytics, but you don't lock yourself into what a number tells you. It's the feel of the game. And you should never get away from that. Tom, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Good morning. How are you?
I'm just great, Tom. I see that you're a Cowboys fan. Boy.
Yes, I am a Cowboys fan.
You're going down the wrong road there, big guy.
How do you figure, Howard?
Because they suck. How's that? How do I figure that?
Howard, as a Cowboys fan, I would be concerned if our offensive linemen weren't playing, our two wide receivers weren't playing. But the fact that everybody's back, I'm not worried at all. The Eagles got no corners.
You think Amari Cooper's going to last the whole game?
I didn't say, even if he lasts the first half and gets two touchdowns, that's all I need.
Okay.
I don't need him to play the whole game.
He will not get two touchdowns in the first half.
Okay. So, you don't think so?
Nope.
Okay, now if he plays the whole game, does he get two?
Wait a minute, you just told me. I'm not even going to answer that question. You said he's going to get two touchdowns the first half.
the first half, yes. If he can play the whole first half, he's getting two touchdowns against you guys.
That ain't happening, all right?
Okay, we'll see.
Okay.
I'll call you next Saturday if it happens.
Hey, listen, how do you like your quarterback?
I'll take Dak over Wentz any day.
You will?
Let me just
break this down for you.
Go for it.
The Cowboys have lost three in a row, correct?
Yes, they have.
Okay, I know it's hard for you to figure out. That's 12 quarters. So just so you understand the game a little bit, because the Cowboys fans just don't understand. That's 12 quarters, correct? All right?
Yes.
All right, how many quarters has he thrown a touchdown pass in those 12 quarters?
I'd have to do the math. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Okay, well, just take a guess.
So what was the question? How many touchdowns did he throw in the last
quarter? Yeah, how many
quarters
has he thrown a touchdown pass in those 12 quarters?
Off the top of my head, what, eight?
Thrown a touchdown pass in one of those quarters, and that's when they were down 31-3
to Dallas. You're right.
Okay.
That's true. But
he is a fraud. How's that? A fraud. And going from one fraud to another, it's Lamont.
Hey, Al. Good morning, Howard. I just woke up from the Yankees game. I'm over here in New York, so I just woke up. But, Howard, let me tell you something. Let me say, Dak Prescott beat Wentz any day.
Okay.
Wentz can't read coverages.
Oh,
he's
he can't.
Done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he can. You will just
you
see
know,
this
don't,
week.
Don't talk out of your rear end, because now you're talking out of your rear end.
This week against the Cowboys.
You're
put
talking
all your
out
money
your
on the Cowboys
end,
this
dope.
Week.
You're talking out
hey,
of your rear
put,
end.
Hey, put all your money on the Cowboys this week.
Okay.
Trust me.
Well, I'm not going to trust you because I'm not putting my money on the Cowboys. I actually really am confident that the Eagles are going to win this game.
Hey, listen. What, how
I'm
he
listening.
Did,
I'm listening.
How
I'm wasting my time
week,
listening, but I'm listening.
He should have got rid of Cox this week, put him on a trading block, get some people there, because you got to go younger. You guys got to get younger.
You are
you're going to see. You're going to see Sunday
dope.
Night. You're going to see Sunday night, Howard.
Okay.
When you're on that line and Cox can't get it, they're going to run right by him tonight. Well, Elliott going to run right by him all night long.
Oh, good.
Angelo
good.
Going to have a heart attack Monday. I ain't even going to call him. On Monday, because he's going to be sick.
All right. Is that
how many yards Elliott going to have?
Probably going to have 793 yards.
Okay, Howard. You really doing it to me, Howard, today. How about those Yankees, Howard?
I like the Yankees because I like Aaron Boone. I like both teams, actually, but I...
And he don't
I
use
Aaron
analytics.
Boone, it's going to be tough.
Last night was so good out there, and...
Yeah,
I'll
you know,
you,
they only
so
scored
good.
Four runs, but that's what the
yeah,
playoffs
but it was,
are.
Yeah, but the stadium was packed last night.
Oh, yeah,
it was,
the stadium was rocking.
It was something else, man. I tell you.
It
you
should be
go
something else. It should be something
yeah.
else.
That's how it's supposed to be. And Klintak, he got to make a move. You got to get rid of that guy. It's terrible watching
you got it all
Philadelphia.
Figured out. You got it all figured
huh?
out. Who's going to win the division?
The Cowboys. What do
okay.
you think?
Okay, see,
Cowboys
now
win it tonight.
That gives me a reason to, well, I don't even want to say goodbye. I just want to hang up on your ass. There you go. That gave me a good enough reason to do that. Rick, you're on WIP.
Howard, I don't know how to top those last two callers, really.
In Tampa, right down the road from Philly's spring training.
Yes, I go every year.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I work at the Tampa airport. And recently, or not too long ago, I saw Nick Leyva. What do you think of him as a manager of the Phillies again?
Nick had some health issues. I like Nick. He actually likes what he's doing. He's doing work with the Pirates in Arizona. So
yeah, I think he's an advisor or something.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is, but he looks over players. I like Nick. I know Nick. And he was in Arizona.
Yeah, he had a lot of nice things to say about you.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay.
He actually said when you say something, you can actually, or you will actually back it up, and that kind of surprised me. But I remember seeing you and Nick years ago down in Atlantic City, and you sat next to me playing blackjack, and I kind of wish you sat at another table, no offense.
Well, Nick's a good guy.
Very good guy.
He got a
very
raw deal
guy.
Years ago in Philadelphia, because Jim Fregosi, and I hate to say it about somebody who's passed away, Fregosi backstabbed him to become the manager of the Phillies.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
Hey, listen, whether Nick was a good manager or not, The way that went down was not right. But, yeah, I like Nick. So what do you do at Tampa Airport, which is not in, even in the scheme of things? What do you do at Tampa Airport?
I do ground services.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
Yeah, yeah. So when I saw him, I saw his bag. I went upstairs. I said hello to him, and he was kind of in shock. He says, I couldn't believe you actually recognized me and remembered me. So I said, yeah, and I thought you were a good manager. I know we didn't have the best of times back then, but he was a good guy.
He did a great job for the Pirates. So so who do you want to be the Phillies' new manager?
Honestly, I don't care as long as it's somebody who helps us win. I think the biggest annoyance I had was when Kapler kept changing the lineup, and I think the biggest thing I remember was when Nola was pitching one of the games, I don't remember who it was against, and pulled him out with maybe 87 pitches, and we had the lead, and then Neris blew it.
It was less than that. That goes back to last year. But managers don't sell tickets, but they give people sort of a confidence. Hey, Rick, maybe sometime I'll see you when I come down to spring training. I'll pass by it at the airport.
I look forward to it, Howard. Have a good day.
Take care. You too. Let's go to, is it Stefan or Stefan?
Stefan.
Stefan. Okay.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Not much, man. Look, I just want to make a point about the Eagles, okay?
Sure.
So I know that a lot of people have been talking about Carson Wentz. I'm going to just say he's going to win us that game. And I'm also going to say that I have high confidence, and my gut is telling me that they're going to win. I was listening to that last caller. He sounded like a douchebag. I'm just going to say, answer your question straight off the bat.
You're giving him a compliment when you give him that name. That's a compliment to him.
Right. So I'm going to just say this. They're going to win. They're going to go flat out just run all over the Cowboys. I don't care what these Dallas fans say. The Eagles are going to win. And I have a message for the Eagles. No matter what the struggle is, keep fighting, because we are the city of brotherly love, and we love the Eagles.
So you have confidence in Sunday's game?
Yes, I do.
And what gives you that
confidence? No doubt about it.
What gives you that confidence? I mean, I agree with you, but what gives you that confidence?
Basically, what gives me that confidence is basically watching Carson Wentz. I know that, you know, we didn't have the best game last Sunday against the Vikings. We didn't have the best game, but what the guy said, that he couldn't read screens, no. The only reason why he can't read them is because he don't have help out on the field. If he had different people on the field that can help him, he'll have a variety of
weapons. It was a comment about checkdowns, which is not the case when you're talking to the coaches. That's not the case.
Exactly. Exactly. So if he can, if he has help, and if he has, like, different weapons at his disposal, then maybe. And I agree with the last caller when he said about DeSean Jackson. So I agree with him on that point, but you gotta remember one thing. If you have so many players that sometimes or most times, 9 times out of 10, are injured, then who is Carson Wentz going to go to?
Well, DeSean Jackson really changes the complexion of the offense, and that's somebody with that kind of speed. Nelson Aguilar has really that kind of speed, but there's nobody, and this is one of the things that I've always thought was unbelievable. DeSean Jackson will track a ball
probably
better than, and nobody's better in the NFL at tracking a football. DeSean Jackson does that extremely well. And there's no question they miss him, and he's not going to play on Sunday. And I don't even know if he's going to play next week. It's just, it's a tough injury, and they do miss him, but they've got to find ways to win. Teams have injuries, and you've got to find ways to overcome them. And I think Sunday night, the Eagles will do that. And all that stuff that happened this week, and the anonymous quote,
Alshon
Jeffrey said it wasn't him. People know that he had a relationship with that, he's friendly with that reporter. And she kind of puts words in your mouth, too, I've seen in the past. This is the way I've interpreted what she's done. So when players don't understand that those reporters do nothing to help you. It's one thing if you can help them out with something's going to happen and you can give them some information that way. But when you put something out there that is critical of your team, what does he think she's going to do? I mean, it's just, it was a joke. But I don't think I don't think that hurt the team. I don't think that's going to be a disadvantage to the team in this game for whatever reason. I think it might galvanize a team and make them closer and say, okay, this is what if you're a player on that team, you got to say this is what we got to do. 94 WIP. We'll get back to the phones. Eagles beat Dallas. We'll see what Mark Lawrence says. He's coming up at 9:40. WIP Sports Time here at the fabulous, sensational Borgata, where if you haven't gotten downloaded the sports app yet, you're missing something. Big event coming up in 2 weeks. Sabre Borgata. And on Friday night, the event's on Saturday. On Friday night, all the chefs are doing something at their restaurants. By the way, Thaddeus Dubois is the pastry chef here. He's going to do an event. They have the best muffins in the United States of America here at the Borgata. The best. Thaddeus Dubois was a White House pastry chef at one time, too. So he's got an event as well. WIP Sports Time, 921. 94 WIP here at the Borgata. Let's go to Drew. You're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. I have a specific question. Obviously all of us as Eagles fans would like there to have been a much better past since the Super Bowl, but I don't understand why Howie Roseman has not been more aggressive about building a top-flight secondary since the Super Bowl. I just don't understand it. I know he drafted Sidney Jones, and that didn't work out,
Here's what you question. You say he's not aggressive. Well, he drafted Sidney Jones. Avante Maddox was, was a fourth-round pick. So you can't say he's not been aggressive because, obviously, he's drafted two players since the Super Bowl in the secondary. You can't just keep one draft in second. He had Jalen Mills, who they liked. Now, he got hurt, but they had Jalen. He didn't get hurt until the next year. And they signed Ronald Darby. See, that statement doesn't make sense. Now, whether you like the picks or not, he still was aggressive.
Yeah, but Howard, you have to downgrade the term aggressive. When Sidney Jones, he was injured, so he wasn't going to be of any value for at least a full year or more.
And they were fine with that. That's why they got him in the second round. He was a first round pick.
Right, but what I'm saying is, based on what you saw, their needs were, and the Super Bowl was a big red flag for that because Tom Brady had only had four games that
and they
season
drafted
where he had,
those. They drafted, listen, Drew, you don't make any sense. You don't make any sense. That's the problem. You don't make any sense. He was aggressive. Now, whether you like Sidney Jones or not, and obviously he's not played up to the ability that they thought he was as a first round pick, but they were aggressive. The way you phrased that just didn't make any sense. Chuck, what do we have in store today, Chuck?
Oh, not much. How you doing, Chief?
I got your Chief. I'm the king. Don't you forget it.
Well, we have our thing about that, but that's, I respect all that. Listen, by the way, congratulations. You had a great week, and you deserve it.
I did was ask a question that needed to be asked.
Yeah, but there's more than that, Howard. As a professional, you did ask the question, and you were professional about it. It was extremely sensitive. But, as far as accountability goes, I think most fans would agree that there's three people that were accountable for what happened this year, and two were still standing. What bothers me the more I think about it is when you go up to shake hands or make some overture at the end of the press conference, according to you, they both pretty much dismissed you.
Yeah, they weren't really happy. But hey, listen, it's my job. It's their job to do what they're doing. And it's my job to do what I've done. And that's all I wanted to express to them. And it's just Andy McPhail, the more I think back at what he does, which is nothing, But he just rolls out these numbers. Do I care about how much increase in attendance? Do I care about the TV ratings being up, especially at a news conference, which really is to talk about the firing of Gabe Kapler? And it's like going from zero to one, those numbers. Then he gives me that war number. Well, the war's up more for the Phillies than any other team because the other teams are better. You know, so it's an increase to what? From
so
bad. It's again, it's going from zero to one.
You know, your bottom line was this. What's in the minors right now? Throw out anything over 75, please. Even the top 100 people know it gets very subjective over 50. But over 75, they're putting people in there that were just drafted.
And it just does? It kind of points out, and you pointed out these numbers, it points out what the Braves have done so much better than the Phillies. Yeah.
Isn't that your standard if you're the Phillies? Right? Your standard's not the team that has two in there. By the way, just a thought, and tell me if you thought about this week. You know, we've had meetings at my company that didn't go the way you'd wished, and we think about it overnight, cool our heads, and come back the next day and try to get a resolution, and we do. We're successful at that. Do you think Middleton could have called a press conference by himself to say, listen, we know we've disconnected with our fan base. That was not the message we wanted to send. I'm here to talk to pretty much get it straight. And a simplified comment or two about the focus of the team and where they want to go and stuff like that. Do you think that would have worked?
I think it would have been better. Here's what I didn't like. They have these numbers that they prepare to throw out. Andy McNumbers throws out the ratings and the increase in attendance, which means nothing to the fans. And it's like, again, going from zero to one. He's got his war number. He's got his top 100 prospects. He's got all this nonsense. And John Middleton was obviously given a number. The Phillies had the fourth best ERA in their bullpen in the second half of the season.
Great.
I mean, don't you play 162? And then what did it do for you? You had, again, a horrible September. So what does that number, how does that number relate? And I really do like John Middleton, and I know he really tries.
I think everybody does.
To put a winning team on the field, but you can't just do it with going out and signing free agents. And to roll out that number, and that was a response to my the draft picks, the lack of success with draft picks, and he throws out this bullpen number. Like, what does that mean? He scrambled around. I really like John, and I started to talk to him after the game, after the news conference, and he says, we'll talk again. But they were taking him away for one-on-one interviews, which I think in television are a waste of time, but it's an ego trip for TV people. So he said what he said in the news conference. But the reality is, you know, why do you put that in the, why did you respond with that number? Because they're scrambling for numbers that support this team being better. They're not better.
They spent the entire week wishing for a do-over because the last thing they wanted to do was disconnect with the fans. You know, when the team's not playing good and you don't just like the manager, that's one thing. But when you lose confidence and trust in the front office and whatnot, that's a larger scale problem. And that's what they've done. Now, if they get Girardi, I think they re-energize the fans a lot more than the other two candidates. Baker is like a Charlie Manuel. He's really a players manager type guy. But boy, I watched him in Washington when Daniel Murphy was batting 385 and he had him batting 5th and 6th. I was like,
I don't care about that, Chuck. I know you're going
to
use your analytics
to say.
But he won. They never won, regardless of who the manager was, until this year. Didn't win until this year.
What's the biggest thing you take out of Washington this year? Harper's 180 strikeouts, and all of a sudden the team plays better.
You know, in analytics,
what's the clubhouse like?
The Phillies don't care about strikeouts, yet Houston is the best in baseball with fewest strikeouts. I mean,
real quick, I know I've had a lot of time here. Real quick, I'll tell you why I think the Eagles are going to win the division. I think they're going to win Sunday, by the way. But when you look at Dallas's schedule, which not too many people are talking about, you have 7 games, all right, 4 of them are away. You're talking mini Detroit, New England, Bills, Chicago, Rams, Eagles again. I don't think they do any better than 3-4. In that schedule there, the Eagles beat them Sunday. That's 8-8. I don't see the Cowboys any better than 8-8.
No, well, the bottom line is, Chuck, the Eagles are going to win the division.
And, I agree. And
I have confidence in that. Hey, Chuck, let me run.
Go ahead, buddy. Thanks for talking.
All right. Hey, have a great weekend. All right. I just want to get this more on order.
Hold on
for a second. The Phillies, according to Jim Salisbury, search for a new amateur scouting director is nearing an end. Brian Barber, national cross-checker from the New York Yankees. So they got to do something to help that minor league. But all right, Dope, what do you want? Captain Cowboy, what do you want?
Leverwush. Hey, you out here doing a lot of chest thumping, and you don't know nothing. Okay?
Isn't that right? Okay.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, zero.
The Cowboys are going to win the division. They're going to win the game. Okay?
All right.
Not only that, Dak Prescott is a better quarterback than Carson Wilson. I told you that. This is the second year
in
a row.
Oh, he is? In the last 12 quarters, the last three straight losses, the last 12 quarters for the Cowboys. That's, by the way, in case you can't add. They've lost three in a row. That's 12 quarters, okay? In those 12 quarters, how many quarters has he thrown a touchdown pass?
His own teammates don't even like
him. Okay. All right. Dak Prescott has thrown one quarter he had a touchdown pass. You know what I wanted to do by putting you on? I wanted to hang up on your ass. Okay. And I just did. That's what I wanted to do with you, you dope. All right. What a moron. 12 quarters. Think about this. Think about how hard it is not to have more quarters than one in his last 12 to throw a touchdown pass. And that's when the Cowboys were down 31-3 against Green Bay. And all of a sudden, now he throws a touchdown pass in a quarter. You moron. You dope. You nitwit. Go back into your hole, crawl into your hole when the Dallas Cowboys lose on Sunday, you dope. Mark Lawrence is coming up. We had some time after that. We'll take some calls. What a stone cold dope. WIP Sports Time here at the Borada, 936. 94 WIP. It's another football Saturday. It's a football weekend. And it's a weekend where the Eagles will go down and beat the Cowboys and squash all those loser Cowboy fans that actually call Philadelphia radio stations and call WIP a lot. Joining us now to talk about the football, and we'll get to that Eagles game, will be Mark Lawrence. Mark, how are you today?
I'm terrific, Howard. How are you doing?
I just wonderful. I just hung up on a Cowboy fan, and it was so pleasurable. These guys are such losers. They are such losers. You have to remind them that those three straight losses, it's 12 quarters because they can't add. They don't know how to add. 4 + 4 + 4 + 4. But anyway, it's dopes. All right, let's start with the college. Who do you like?
I'm going to look at a couple of what we call these leaking oil favorites again this week. These are guys that have been out-yarded their last three football games in a row, and they find themselves favored, not a real desirable situation. First is going to be a play on Kent State against Ohio University. This Ohio University team is favored, again, largely on name and reputation. They've been out-yarded their last five straight football games in a row.
Wow.
112 yards a game average. They're negative for the season. They're laying 7.5 points to Kent State, who, if you take a look at this football team, is playing much better football this year than they are last. I'm going to play Kent State plus the 7.5 against Ohio U on this leaking oil favorite premise.
Okay, who else do you like?
The other guy is going to be Oregon State. We're going to take 11 against California. And again, Cal, much like Ohio U, they've lost the yards four straight games in a row. And in fact, if you look at their ledger, they've played five FBS teams this year. They've been outgained in all five of those games, 92 yards a game. And they're also what we call a homecoming favorite, California. In homecoming games, you like to play on the home underdog, or you play them if they're a favorite because they're highly distracted. That's the case for Cal in this football game. You've got 86 yards a game, if you will, improvement here from Oregon State from this year to last year. I like them plus the points against Cal in this game.
You know, and I know a lot of these numbers are generated by computers and they weigh all these different things. Why would those teams be strong favorites when they really don't show it on the field, but they may show it in wins and losses, but not on the field? Why does that happen?
Well, that's a great question. In the Cal case, it was only 3 weeks ago that they were ranked in the top 25 polls. They were number as high as number 16 this year, but they've completely bottomed out, gone south. It's still a name and reputation type thing. Everybody looks at Oregon State, and they just think of a bad football team. They look at Kent State, they think the same thing. So a lot has to do with name and reputation, and as long as they continue to keep losing football games, you know, you'll end up finding that script flipping. You won't find these teams favored too many more games.
All right, well, certainly I have to ask you about Penn State with that overrated fraud as a head coach, James Franklin, against Michigan.
Well, you know, everybody looks at this Michigan football team this year, you know, and they're down, they're shooting arrows at them. But, you know, the truth of the matter is they're 5-1 in the season. Their only loss has been to Wisconsin. There's nothing wrong at all about that. They still control their own destiny, Michigan does, in the Big Ten Conference. They win this game. They win their division. They could beat Ohio State at home the last game of the football season and go to the college football playoffs. I mean, that might be a pipe dream, but they're still technically alive for all of that. Michigan defense is really coming on right now, and they're number 14 in the country, but they've held their last two opponents to season-low yards. And I'm with you. I think James Franklin is a vastly overrated head coach. He's just 3-8 to the number against good teams, 800 or better, that are off of a win and no cover. I think Michigan plus the points is a good side in this football game. And if they pull a surprise, upset, I'm not going to be surprised.
All right. There's probably a couple of games where the number might be telling me something. Temple has come off some pretty big wins. Yet they're, and it's now up to, I see, 9. How the heck is Temple a 9-point underdog? And what that leads me to believe is, even at 9, and I know you don't like those big favorites, even at 9, SMU looks like the side based on the number.
Well, you know, they do because they're undefeated, and, you know, they've been getting the ink, and Temple has not. The thing I don't like about SMU this week, the line aside, is the fact that they have an extra week to get ready for this football game, and that really oftentimes is detrimental to undefeated football teams. That rest turns to rust. You know, they sit around reading about their press clippings and how good they are and so forth and whatnot. And remember, they just barely got by Tulsa their last game. They beat them in overtime, and this is a bad Tulsa football team. They were out-yarded in the contest, SMU was. I think Temple will go in there and give SMU everything they want in this football game today.
Okay, Florida State has been brutal this year, yet they're only and now it's down to 1.5 against Wake. Just based on that number, is Wake the side, in your opinion, there?
No, I don't think so, for a couple of reasons. Number one,
Florida State the side.
Florida State is the side, yes.
Right, yeah. I mean,
you know, Wake, number one, they're in what we would call, they're getting in bubble burst territory. They just had their perfect season ruined their last game.
Right.
Wake Forest did. And if you go back and you look at the series in between these two football teams, the last 29 games they played, Wake Forest has been the favorite only one time. And when they were favored in that game, they lost the whole game straight up. They're in territory that they haven't proven they can handle here. Word is Florida State's supposed to start Alex Hornibrook, the quarterback that transferred from Wisconsin. If they do, I think they're a really good play here because he gives them some semblance of discipline. You know, if it's James Blackman, you know, it might go out the window. But the bottom line, with Hornibrook behind center here, I think Florida State's got a big chance in this football game.
Yeah, so Florida State's aside. That's what I
yes.
meant to say. Okay. All right, let's take a look at the pros. Who do you like?
We're going to look at the two underdogs with better offenses and better defenses, which is really a nice combination to have this time of the year in the NFL. The first is the Baltimore Ravens against Seattle. And people might not want to believe it, but Baltimore still yet does have the better defense coming into this game and the better offense as well. They're coming into this contest here. Yes, they're off of Cincinnati, but they rebounded real well. They've gone 10-2 to the spread in games after Cincinnati. And they run the ball really effectively, 5.5 yards a carry, and the Seahawks give it up 4.7. So I think that's a fundamental mismatch favoring Baltimore. Seattle is 5-1 on the season this year, but they could be 1-5 because their wins are by a grand total of only 8 points on the season here. They've won so many close-call football games. I think it comes to an end here. And they've also lost the money, by the way, 4 straight games in a row at home in Seattle, where, you know, everybody thinks they're invincible, but the truth is they're not. I think Baltimore plus the points is the right side in that football game.
All right, who else do you like?
The other guy's going to be the LA Chargers, who they're saying it's time to get out of Dodge. Getting out of L.A. right now, it couldn't happen in a better time for the Chargers because they're brutal at home. They get no fan support whatsoever. Since they made the move from San Diego up to Los Angeles at home in L.A., they're only 10-9 straight up and 7-12 against the spread with no fan support. On the road, they're 13-7 on the road. You've got Phillip Rivers has dominated the AFC South in his career. In 30 games, he's beat the spread 24 times, says Rivers. Better offense, better defense here with the Chargers against an up-and-down Tennessee team. I think the Chargers win the football game.
All right, Alain, it's just I don't think the Bears are all that wonderful. Why are they a four-point favorite against the Saints?
You know, it's a little bit perplexing to me as well, but the truth of the matter is that there's a lot of people that realize that teams who play in London, England, and come back with a week of rest really are beneficial, especially in small price ranges like the line in this football game happens to be. The Bears off the loss, and, you know, New Orleans, for as good as they played in, and tip of the hat, I mean, Sean Payton's done a great job. Teddy Bridgewater steadied the ship here for this football program here. But, you know, they've overachieved a lot this year, has New Orleans, this football team, the defense aside, because it's been terrific. I think this is a good spot for Chicago to come back with that week of rest to catch their breath against a New Orleans football team that might be looking forward to the bye week and looking forward to get Drew Brees back here. I like the Bears in this contest.
Yeah, the number's telling me something there. All right, let's take a look at the big game. Those loser Cowboy fans might be a little upset after this one. Who do you like?
You know, I was just talking with a good friend this morning, and we're going over the injury reports, and the injury reports do not look well in this game for the Eagles. I understand the Eagles are more banged up than Dallas is getting some people back that were questionable in the football game, and because of that, you're going to see the line on this game is going to go up to -3, pretty solid, which then makes to me a real strong case for Philadelphia plus the 3 points. I love the fact that the Eagles have been beat 3 straight times in a row by Dallas. There's nothing better in the National Football League than to have a road dog in an in division that's been taken out 3 successive games in a row with a 500 or better record. That's the role that Philadelphia comes in into this game here. And, you know, there's one also horrible number here for Dallas. My goodness, I mean, as home favorites, when they lost straight up into the spread their previous game, they're 1-18-1 against the spread in this role.
Wait a minute. And, so as home favorites, after a loss...
After a straight-up and point spread loss.
Okay.
They're 1-18-1 against the spread. And it all ties into Jason Garrett, who is a choke master at home laying points. He's the worst coach in the National Football League as a home favorite. He barely wins 50% of the game straight up, let alone having to beat the point spread here. He just does not allow his team a chance to pull away and win football games. He plays this close conservative, let's just get the win and get the heck out of here type of game. And that's why he's a horrible home favorite here. I think this is a real ideal spot for Philadelphia if the injuries don't bite them in the rear end in the end.
Okay, here's what I'm going to ask you. Of the 1-18-1, how many of those games were straight-up losses by the Cowboys? Do you know that?
Just a little bit shy of 50%, okay?
Okay.
It's just a little bit shy. So of the 20 games, I believe they won 13 of them straight up. But they choke to the spread when laying points, and that's the key here, a home favorite in this particular role. Not good straight up, horrible laying the points.
Okay, and it's just and the Eagles, the second game of a road game, the Eagles have a good record too, right?
Yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles are in a real desirable situation here. This is the second, like you say, of 3 straight road games in a row for them. Last 11 times they've been in this role, they've won the money 10 times. They've also won the game straight up, 7 of those 11 games straight up. So they're 7-4 straight up, 10-1 to the spread in the second of 3 straight road games.
All right. Wow. Is there a total you like that you can throw in that you like this weekend?
Yeah. Taking a look at the totals card, I have my note here. Let me grab this here real quick. I know we're pressed up against the number here, but... there was a game that really stood out on the card. Here we go.
I was looking at and some of these totals. People get carried away sometimes with totals. Like, for instance, the Ravens and Seahawks, that's a high number. But, you know, I don't know.
That's the game, Howard, okay?
Really?
That's the game. Yes, that's the game I was going to go to, the Ravens and the Seahawks here. What you've got is NFC teams that are in the second of back-to-back conference games. They've gone over 9 of the last 10 times in this particular role. And I mentioned, I alluded to before, the Seattle defense is not all of what it has been in the past. This number is up there for a reason here to this point spread. I know people want to shy away from it when they see that, but the bottom line here is I think this game gets over the total. I think there's a lot of scoring in this contest.
Okay. If people have interest in Mark's service, it's 800-321-7777 on the internet at playbook.com. And Playbook, in the App Store, Playbook Cube, a lot of good stats. Mark, have a great week, and we'll talk next week after the Eagles become the first-place team in the division after a win against those stinking Cowboys and that fraud of a quarterback, Dak Prescott.
Well, you won't be getting many Dallas calls after this week, I'm sure, Howard.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, they'll be back in the muck and grime, those cockroaches that they are. All right. See you later, Mark.
All right. Have a safe trip. Thanks.
All right. My thanks to Kyle Quinn back at the studio, Bill Matz here at the Borgata. A lot of good things at the Borgata. I will be heading to Dallas for an Eagles win. I'm not saying that because it's the Eagles. I really believe the Eagles are going to win, even with all the nonsense that goes on, that went on this week. Doug Peterson, he didn't guarantee the win. He just said they're going to win. That's good enough for me. No, it's okay. All right, everybody have a great week. Thanks to the people, as always, from the Borgata. Another great time here at the Borgata. WIP Sports Time is now. By the way, Glenn and Ray are next. I should always tell you that. Glenn and Ray are next. I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about this, and they'll mix in a little Phillies. And unless they get rid of Klintak and McPhail, I don't know if it makes any difference. But whatever. All right, WIP Sports Time is 9:55.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.